You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
All right. Hello, everyone. Happy Friday. And we haven't gotten canceled yet. back to the Killer Bees podcast. Tommy Barney, and I am joined by
Keelan Blue.
Right, we're back. I haven't like magically made my podcast partner disappear, so I'm
never
so far. A lot has happened since we last talked.
A lot. We had to make a list.
Yeah, there's a lot going on. Shall we start with the continuing enigma known as Tony La Russa?
Yes, we should. So last time we talked, pretty much the majority of what we talked about was the Tony La Russa hire. And, you know, the fact that it was a little bit contentious, why it was contentious. And that was enough drama in itself, but it seems we have upgraded the drama.
You gotta put more drama on drama.
We do. This is a soap opera. Don't forget about it. Yeah, so we found out that not only, you know, Tony La Russa was hired and there was some contention, but also he has some supporters too, but now we found out that he was arrested for a DUI, and I'm not remembering when the actual DUI occurred, but the White Sox knew about it throughout the whole hire. And to this day, they still haven't made a statement about it. Legend.
Well, they did.
They did make a statement.
It was a statement of nothing, but they made
a statement. Yes. That was a good point. That was.
I mean, anytime you start a statement with per this person's attorney, it's probably not going to go well.
But yeah, that's a good point.
Issue a statement.
Yeah, that's a good point. So yeah, I mean, and then there was a little bit more craziness surrounding that because I think the charges were dropped, but then it turns out it was because they were being refiled in another district. So that created a little stir. But yeah, I mean that's
even the whole charges being dropped and it being redistricted and all that. I mean, the whole thing just seems strange to me.
And totally.
The silent confidence that Jerry Reinsdorf is displaying really makes me think that he's kind of behind the scenes pulling the strings and knows that his friend is going to be taken care of. And that's why he really doesn't care about any of these things that are happening.
Yeah, it is a little, you know, I'm not much of a conspiracy theorist, but at the same time, I agree. It does seem a little like creepy.
It's the White Sox. We have to be conspiracy theorists about it.
Yeah. And it is Jerry. And it does seem like, yeah, the silence. And it's just like, oh, it's okay. The whole time it's had been this feeling of like, yeah, yeah, don't worry about it. You know, like all of you keep your mouth shut. Don't worry about it.
Exactly.
Which is, you know, it's infuriating. although I know some people out there, you know, there's a big thing about like, how bad is a DUI? How much should we get mad at a person or hold that against them? And I think that's like there's like so many dimensions to this issue.
There are. And, you know, I think because the other thing that I see popping up continuously is that they keep likening it to certain players. And so like I would never excuse anyone's behavior, but at the same time, I think it's one thing when you're talking about a 20-year-old that maybe hasn't really lived a full life yet and doesn't know what they're doing, compared to a 76-year-old man that this isn't even his first time having this issue. And for a long time, you know, it's been kind of that open secret about Tony La Russa potentially being, you know, dealing with alcoholism and clearly not getting the help that he needs in that regard. So I think that it does raise bigger questions, because if you're, you know, I'm of the camp of people that don't really think a manager necessarily buys you any wins. I think it's more representative of what you want the organization to be and kind of like your figurehead. So I tend to put more of an emphasis on that type of social responsibility. And that's the same reason why I didn't want AJ Hinch to be the manager. And it's the same reason why, you know, given that there had been this whole camaraderie built into the White Sox clubhouse, I thought they should have been a lot more cautious about not screwing that up. Because you had Ricky Renteria, who for all of his faults, the players played the hell out of, you know, they always played for him. They loved him. He was like a father figure for them. And if you take that away, you have to have a damn good reason for it. And I think that the White Sox as an organization, beyond Jerry Reinsdorf, are still looking for that reason.
Yeah, yeah, I agree completely. And it's interesting because what you said about, like, you're of the camp that you don't necessarily believe the manager is the one who gets the wins. I've seen a lot of people either like anti Tony La Russa or kind of pro Tony La Russa, finding that argument to use in both cases. So yeah, I mean, either way with that argument, it's like, it would be nice to have somebody who, you know, although it sounds like he's probably not going to go to jail, it would be interesting to have a manager. You know, what is he going to do? Like, call in plays from jail?
Well, you know, they're hip hop artists that have released albums from jail. So
that's true.
Figure out a way to call a game.
Yeah, you're receiving a collect call from Maricopa County Jail. I mean, it would add another interesting dimension to the year.
Would. Absolutely.
Or 2021. Let's carry this over. But yeah, I agree with you.
We do have happy news. Like,
yes.
Sport too.
Yes.
There was a lot of quality hardware given out to White Sox players this year for their valiant efforts of 2020, including your boy Tim Anderson got himself a Silver Slugger.
Alabama man.
Yep. And then Jose Abreu and Eloy Jimenez also got Silver Sluggers, respectively. So kudos to all of them, and very well deserved.
Hell yeah.
Luis Robert didn't win Rookie of the Year, which didn't surprise me, but it seemed like a lot of people were confused by that.
I was angry for the sake of being angry about it.
Yeah, I mean.
But he did. I mean, he still.
Yeah, you can't go on a 3-month slump in a 4-month season and win Rookie of the Year. Like,
yeah.
I think the fact that his numbers were still relatively comparable says a lot about how he started. But yeah, I just didn't think that was going to happen. But he did win the Gold Glove for the American League, which frankly shocked the hell out of me. I mean, he is already I would consider a top five defensive outfielder, but I didn't expect him to win a Gold Glove his rookie year, just because that doesn't happen very often.
Right. So it was kind of like, even though he didn't get Rookie of the Year, I mean, I wasn't even expecting that at all. So when I saw that, I was like, what?
Yeah.
That's great.
So, I mean, definitely well-deserved, and I'm sure it will be the first of many for him, but I just, that was a pleasant surprise.
Yeah.
And then, really, the whole emotion of seeing Jose Abreu finally win the AL MVP and just kind of, I don't know if you watched the press conference at all.
I did.
I had to turn it off. I could feel myself starting to cry.
Yeah, no, it was definitely like, especially this happened after everything else we talked about happened. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there was kind of like,
there's a lot going on.
Yeah. It was like a roller coaster of emotion already. And then just to see him finally, you know, and it meant so much to him. Like,
absolutely.
I feel like you don't see that as often now, especially during these times. So it was just like, damn.
Yeah. And, you know, he's been just like, he's been through so much and he went through so much just to get here, to find a major league ball club, and for things to have just worked out as well as they have on both sides. I mean, it's kind of the dream scenario. And, you know, the White Sox have done a very good job of making sure that the players that they bring in are taken care of and providing a good situation for them socially, as you know, and kind of bringing them into the fray. So I think when you have somebody that actually has like AL MVP hardware to go with that, it makes it that much more of a solid case. So I was super happy for him.
Yeah, me too. And it is kind of interesting, you know, during this time with shifting in a manager and everything, it's a lot of pressure, I'm sure, for him. But at the same time, he was already acting sort of, you know, I mean, he's still a player, so obviously not a manager, but they do have kind of a figurehead there. And it seems like that's just something to validate him as that in a way, especially after Ricky has departed.
Yes.
Yeah. So yeah, that was great. And I, like you, I was like, oh, my emotions. He seems like a really sweet guy.
Yeah. And
it's very awesome. So yeah, super happy about that. And for the team, you know, that's huge.
Absolutely.
It's huge to have a leader. So yeah.
Aww.
And although we still will continue to question the hiring of the White Sox manager, I, for one, am absolutely psyched for the coaching hires that have happened so far.
Yeah.
I just, neither one was that much of a surprise. I mean, Miguel Cairo was kind of a surprise because I didn't think that the White Sox would kind of be able to poach him away from the Yankees organization. Mm-hmm. But it is both coaches. We're talking about Ethan Katz, who's the new pitching coach. Very lengthy connections with, with Giolito. Had a lot of success in San Francisco working with pitchers there. And even though he was an assistant pitching coach, like, he was highly regarded as one of the top pitching minds in the league. So that's a really big deal. And then Miguel Cairo, who, you know, I feel like played just like not that long ago, because I remember, you know, seeing him in a Cubs uniform, what feels like only a couple of years ago, but that was early 2000s. And that's 20 years ago and I'm old and so on and so forth. but no, I mean, both cases, you're talking about guys that have really good leadership qualities. They're on the younger side. So I think there will be a lot of relatability with the pitchers and with the rest of the players. And having that experience and that expertise and bringing that to the table is going to be really interesting to see, especially in contrast to Tony La Russa.
Yeah, and I agree with you. I was excited about both of these as well, because like you said, it's some younger dudes, which will be nice. And then I was wondering too if we were going to get like another, like hopefully another like Spanish speaking person at least. So the fact we got somebody from Venezuela is like pretty awesome. So I am excited about that for those guys. I'm sure that's nice to have. And then Yeah, I mean, the pitching coach is awesome. And I think maybe having, well, yeah, how long was, what's his bucket, the pitching coach?
Oh, Ethan Katz?
No, no, no. The guy we just fired. I forgot his name. I'm brain farting. He was like 17 years.
Yeah. Cooper, I like in some ways it felt like he came with the new ballpark. So, I mean, he had been so deeply ingrained into the White Sox organization, and you know there were ruminations of him even potentially getting a manager's job at some point with the White Sox, not with another organization. But I mean, it's been said for a few years now that as much as he is sort of beloved by some as a pitching coach, he really doesn't teach anything about like the actual anything beyond the cerebral aspects of pitching. And so when you are in this analytics age and they want you to talk about spin rate and whiff percentage and look, you know, all the metrics and stuff, he's not that guy. Yeah. And that's why I think this is all very interesting, because Katz and Cairo kind of seem like guys that Han probably would have had in mind. Mm-hmm. And you're throwing it in the mix with La Russa, who is what nobody wanted outside of Reinsdorf. So I'm not sure how that's going to balance out, because it seemed like if you read through all the BS when Renteria was leaving, I'm guessing there were some philosophical issues there. And so I'm not saying it will happen. I just don't see how you avoid that, given that not everybody in the org is on the same page right now.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it definitely seems like a very weird time. It's like we added an extension wing to the rebuild.
Exactly. Yeah.
Or like there's like a crack in the foundation. Now what are we going to do? Yeah. What do you think is going to happen to the remaining pitching staff, or sorry, the coaching staff that we don't know about?
Yeah, I don't see, you know, there's debate whether or not like Joe McEwing will be back, because I know the players absolutely adore him. Mm-hmm. I would hope that he'd come back. Don't see that necessarily happening. And I think it may end up being a lot more in the former player mold of either, you know, longstanding White Sox related guys, you know, kind of like what they did with Harold Baines, and just kind of like, all right, you can be the coach, you can be, you know, this or that. Or I could see them potentially poaching somebody else for the hitting coach job. Mm-hmm. But you know, at the same time, I know that Minakino is very highly thought of, so I don't know that they would necessarily let him go either without having something in place that they're, you know, fully on board with.
Mm-hmm. What about Daryl Boston? I'm asking for selfish reasons on this one, because I don't.
Is there a Daryl Boston connection that I need to know about?
No, just that. Okay. I love him.
Just enjoy Daryl Boston.
I do.
I don't think he'll be back, but that doesn't mean that he wouldn't be back in the organization. Because, you know, keep in mind, we will have minor league baseball in some capacity this year. Mm-hmm. So I could very easily see some of these guys being moved around and kind of. I don't know what the structure is going to look like, because they keep talking about, you know, killing off so many of these minor league teams that they might need to consolidate staff.
Yeah.
But I could definitely see an opportunity where they might kind of reconfigure and reimagine how the Charlotte team looks versus Birmingham. And then if there's any sort of local minor league team that's close by, that might be another way of kind of keeping these guys in house.
Yeah. Oh boy.
So, you know, the one other thing that I would be remiss if I didn't talk about, because I just am super geeked about it, is like, I am so, so happy that Kim Ng finally got GM job.
Hell yeah. Yes. That was exciting.
She has a ton of Chicago connections. She went to University of Chicago, started out in the White Sox organization. And I frankly had been hoping that she would get the GM job in the White Sox org for a while now. But, you know, I'm glad that she was finally able to break through. And I hope that there are many more women and people of color to come. Help fill those high rolling jobs. But it was just really cool to see, especially somebody that has been with the White Sox organization for such a long time. And I never really felt like she got the credit that she deserved here.
Yeah.
Because, you know, a lot of what she did was just so far behind the scenes that I don't think that many people talked about it, unless you're, you know, weird like me and just really into White Sox, you know, org culture.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it is really big. And then just like, you know, I'm sure you can relate to that, but I know for me, like as a woman, it's like, holy shit. Like, really? And it sucks because it's like, this is hard to believe, because that's how like used to being like, yeah, we don't have a place. Yeah, and like how hard it is to be taken seriously, which that's the one thing I'm not so much concerned about. But I know like for a lot of my baseball people that are women, it's like that's, they know their shit and they still like aren't taken seriously.
Yeah. It's like, hey, little lady, let me teach you about baseball.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, even though it's like, dude, like, she knows more than you do.
More than you. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Like, I see that all the time. I'm like, are you serious? Like, you're going to go at her with this stuff? Like, good luck. Yeah. So, like, not only dealing with that, and then, you know, also, I think I read here, like, she's the first East Asian American general manager. Like, that's a lot packaged in one that she's had to be, like, tough as hell. Absolutely. So, that's badass. Yeah.
And I mean, to her credit, too, like, she, after she left the White Sox organization, she was with the Yankees and the Dodgers as assistant GM. So, I mean, like, you're talking about two of the most absolutely dominant franchises in modern baseball history that she was a part of. That's why I was just always like, okay, somebody's going to hire her eventually, right? I mean, you can't spend more than a decade in just at that level, working in those organizations, and not know damn near everything that there is to know about running an organization like that.
Yeah. Yeah. That'll be exciting to watch.
Yeah.
Hear and see what happens. And I don't know. I mean, there's been a lot of stuff pop up this year with women in baseball. So yeah, it's super exciting. And just like, again, 2020 has been rough. And I think for me personally, that was something that, and I know a lot of people, it was like, it's a shining light and it's like something to look forward to in the future. So it's not even just like, you know, these awards were great and they're like, yeah, and I feel good about them, but this is something that's like, oh, this is like a new horizon and absolutely gives me a lot of like hope. And when you see people that are, that you can identify with in some ways, it's like, you know, it teaches you how to handle things. So that's awesome for, you know, anybody that sees themselves in her and wants to be involved with things, you know, it's like now there's a path and somebody's done it and let's get it.
Absolutely. No, that's a really good point. So yeah, I wanted to give her a shout out because I was like super geeked about that. And I remember how excited I was when even, you know, Kenny Williams was hired to be general manager, and even now is one of the few Black execs in Major League Baseball. And, you know, he's been in that position for, what, 15, 20 years now. So mm-hmm. it's very stagnant, but you celebrate the wins when you can.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like a foot in the door and it's like, it's it's been done, obviously. So anybody that has an issue with this, like, look, here's proven things that you're wrong if you have an issue with it. So, yeah, that's awesome. And I think it's great. Just the representation in general is awesome. And, you know, it is a sport that even though it's got, like, different feelings about it and people say different things about it as far as, like, the makeup of players, it's like that representation matters so much.
It does.
And it's made up of different people. That's just how it is. So people can deal with it.
So yeah, I mean, as I said, there's been a lot going on, and you know, there will be more. We have the Rule 5 draft coming up, and I don't expect there to be any earth-shattering news to come from that as far as the White Sox are concerned, but you never know. There have always been moves here and there that end up having larger impacts than I think people originally intend, and there have been probably twice as many draft picks or players that have been taken in the Rule 5 draft that ended up coming right back because it didn't work out with the new team. So, it's interesting conjecture, but I don't think there will be much to discuss there until we really officially hit free agency. And who knows what that's going to look like now. In light of everything with Tony La Russa, I think probably the potential White Sox free agent that was most vocal about everything was Marcus Stroman.
Yeah.
And he clearly wasn't on board with the direction that the org was going, and got a nice qualifying offer from the Mets.
Yeah.
So it's not like he didn't have a good situation to come to, but it was very interesting to see that unfold. And you have, Captain Bauer outage already, posting YouTube videos about it. And I know that people don't want it to be a thing, and I know that Jerry Reinsdorf just thinks it's going to go away. But when you're talking about probably the top two free agents kind of talking about this in a public manner, that's not good. And you usually don't want to do that. And I guess I come back to this every time. Like, Jerry Reinsdorf, the reason why he has made so much money is because he doesn't take a lot of risks. Even when he does things that are stupid, it's usually a risk-averse stupidity. It's never, there's no reason for me to go out on a limb and do this, but I'm going to. And it's like, this is the type of stuff that, given where the White Sox are in their window, they needed to hit again on free agency to make that to hit that extra gear.
Yeah.
Because they proved at the trade deadline that they weren't going to trade away all of these assets for, a Clevenger or any of these other guys. And I'm not saying that they should have, but it's like, when you refuse to deal your prospects, you're kind of showing your cards of, okay, I'm not really in a position to do this, but I will bring in talent via free agency or trade in the offseason. The trades aren't going to look that much different. They're going to ask for the same guys that they were asking for at the trade deadline.
Yeah.
The only thing that's different is that you have the option of free agency now, but all of those free agents are either accepting the qualifying offers, or they have already kind of made it seem like, hey, this organization seems to be kind of a shit show. I may not want to be a part of that.
Yeah. Yeah. I am very interested to see where that goes, because you're right. I mean, it's already been like you said, Stroman and Bauer were both talking about it, and it's kind of like, oh God, please stop. But also, but also, I don't blame you.
No, I mean, I don't blame them at all. And it's like, that's why I really didn't like it when there was just this huge backlash when people were saying Tony La Russa needs to lose his job, because he's the face of the franchise. That's just the start and end of it. It's like, and Reinsdorf, out of everyone, should understand the business of a brand, and that needs to be worth something. And as the brand loses its value, you aren't going to get the return that you could get if you leave the brand alone or let it grow.
Yeah. And then, I mean, there also is the thought that I think now, like, there's definitely the hindsight in this. And I think I expressed it in our last podcast that, like, when Ricky Renteria got fired, I was kind of like, okay, but, like, now what? What mm-hmm. are we going to do now? Because this, you know, be careful what you wish for. And now, you know, with Tony La Russa and people saying, like, oh, he needs to be fired. And don't get me wrong, I think what's going on is terrible. But also it's like, okay, if we do that, well, then what? You know, like,
yeah,
I'm sure there are options. But also it's like, you know, it's a, like, cascading effect.
It
not
is.
To downplay what happened, you know, it's not a good situation, but there's just, like, not, sometimes it's like, what is open? Who could we have? What are we okay with dealing with? What does it say about us as a brand and team?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think the other part of it too, is that, that's why I was only encouraged by, because I was in the same boat as you. Like, it's like, there's no way they're going to fire Renteria, because if they fire him, who are they going to hire? And the people that were out there were guys that were like, all right, they have some recent success, but I don't know if you really want those kinds of characters in your clubhouse. And I was under the impression, based on what Rick Hahn had said, you know, I knew AJ Hinch was his guy, and that's fine. I didn't want him, but that's fine.
Yeah.
But I was at least under the impression that they were going to do a thorough search to at least try to identify something that makes more sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I didn't think Ricky Renteria was going to get fired. I thought maybe next year, only because, like, oh, they made it to the playoffs, so it's like, okay, maybe not this year, maybe next year. I thought Don Cooper probably would.
Yeah, I knew Coop would go.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so, like, when Ricky Renteria was fired, I was like, oh. And I personally hadn't even, like, thought beyond that, but immediately, yeah, I was like, oh no. And I don't know, it'll be really AL Central's really gonna be
it will be the place.
Yeah, it's like a...
I mean, if not hiring AJ Hinch is a mistake, we will be the first ones to see that.
Yes,
you know, firsthand.
yeah. No, I'm actually, like, in a way, it's kind of like, I don't want to say, like, watching a car crash, because I don't think it'll be that fast, but it is kind of like, oh, I think I made this
slow burn. You
know? Yeah, exactly. I think I made this joke on Twitter, but, like, AL Central's, like, you know, these, like, Australia became, like, Australia as we know it today, because, like, that's where the British sent their convicts. So I'm like, that's what AL Central feels like right now. We are. Yeah. It's going to be interesting for sure.
I think that pretty much sums up the last couple of weeks in White Sox baseball. I hope the next time we meet, it's not as tedious. Like, you know, maybe we can not have, like, negative things to talk about, but only, like, hey, we have new free agents that are shiny and new and happy, and not any more TLR drama.
Yeah, I hope so. And honestly, like, in a weird way, I think all of the drama has been, like, building up, and it's like, okay, this is too much. So yeah, totally ready for just positive news and hopefully good news. Mm-hmm. And getting the team together, and it's like, okay, this has been bad, but let's coalesce, and yeah, fingers crossed.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I don't want to jinx it, so let's just, you know, fingers crossed and hope for the best. And you know, maybe we can get Tony La Russa away from people for a while.
Yeah, that's probably the best play. Just keep him quiet.
Just keep him in a bubble.
Yeah. Protect him. Protect all of us. Let us know when he's ready to come out and play.
No, not even then. Just
yeah, that's a good point.
I want him in a bubble in the dugout. Like, it's just like.
Do you think they've given him a handler?
They have to, don't they?
I don't know, but I would hope so.
Yeah, I think they have to. I would.
Yeah. Me too.
That one, and I trust him more than Tony La Russa.
Yeah. Yeah, me too. No, I think it would be, you know, keep that under wraps and control.
Yeah.
Probably a good idea. Doubt anybody will listen to this from the White Sox, but make sure you're doing that. Yeah. They're probably like, I'm gonna kill you.
Blink twice, hon. It'll be okay.
Yeah.
Set you free.
Yeah. We love you. Okay.
All right. Well, that concludes episode 2. Thank you all for joining us. And we will see you all in a couple of weeks.
Yeah. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Avoid COVID.
Yeah.
Yep.
Don't breathe on anybody. All those fun things. Exactly. All right. Have a good one.